call this meeting to order. Ms. Falk, will you do a roll call?
Yes. Do we have the speakers on? Okay. Yes, we do. All right. Dr. Davidson? Dr. Davey?
Present.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Rates?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Do we have any members of the public that wish to speak at this time?
We do not who wish to speak at this time, but we do have Jennifer Mattis. Jessica Mattis present and Ms. Chevalier for Jane DeToma's application.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Then we'll move on to agenda item number 4, the approval of the minutes. This is July 8th, 2019 regular session. Does anybody have any thoughts, questions, edits, suggestions, or motions on those minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes.
I second. This is Dr. Stenhoff.
Excellent. And we have a motion to approve the minutes. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed by same signal. Motion carries with the approval of minutes. Go ahead and move on to agenda number 5, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding recommendations to the board pertaining to the approval of behavior analyst applicants. You guys don't mind, because we do have somebody on the phone for number 4, Jane DeToma. I would recommend that we start with her. Dr. Stenhoff, can you give us an overview of this applicant?
Sure. The committee requested on July 9th some additional information from Ms. DeToma. They requested clarification of her supervision with Ms. Birdwhistle in the original application. It was reported that Ms. Birdwhistle began supervising Ms. DeToma prior to becoming a BCBA and did not have supervision approval from the BACB and also was not licensed in the state of Kentucky, the state in which supervision was conducted. However, based on the documentation that was submitted related to the additional information request, it appeared that her supervision meets the standards described in Arizona Administrative Code. And at this time, I don't have any further concerns, but would like to hear from other committee members if they do.
Are there any committee members that have any concerns?
No, just comment that it was helpful to understand the BACB designation or the BCABA designation that she had with regard to working towards her BCBA. The BACB clearly allows the hours accumulated during a BACB experience to be used towards accumulation of the total 1,500 hours that we require. When reading through it, I briefly had a minor deep breath when I read that she had gone through the intensive practicum experience for only 750 hours, but felt better after reviewing BACB guidelines and combining the experiences.
Perfect. Thank you. And I, too, would second Dr. Davies' comments that it is helpful to have kind of the breakdown that was provided, as it does get a little bit confusing. I know that the BACB is changing their requirements around this process as well, and that might be something that we want to look at in the future as far as using the application process for applicants that are looking to come from out of state, because I do think that the combined experience is unique to out-of-state applicants, being that many of the programs here in state have kind of accommodated the statutory requirements for Arizona. And so it would be nice to ensure that we have a good process moving forward of said, not delaying any applicants because they are combining that experience. So I agree that her application is complete and would be in support of moving it to the full board. All right, Ms. Chevalier, then from here, the board will be in touch with Ms. DeToma about the status of the application with the full board, but you're welcome to stay for the call. Otherwise, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right. We are going to go ahead and move to applicant number one, Abigail Bunt. Dr. Davey, can you please give us an overview of this application?
Yeah, I believe, Madam Chair, you still have one other member of the public. Did you want to move to that, or did you want to go through the applications first?
That is a separate agenda item. That's going to be agenda item six. And so because we are on five, I think we should move to the applicants really quick, and then we'll go to agenda item six.
Very well. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Yes, the applicant, Abigail Blunt, was seeking licensure in the state of Arizona, comes forward after working in Virginia, doing some of her work at Clemson. And reviewing the application, I was interested just really in one item and was trying to seek clarification. I reached out to board staff, and that was with regard as to when licensure went into effect in the state of Michigan or in the state of Virginia. I could narrow it down to 2012. Board staff, were you able to narrow it down any tighter?
Ms. Chairman, Chairwoman, Dr. Davey, yes, I did hear from Virginia. I had reached out to them by email, and they emailed me back just a few minutes ago. They started issuing licenses September 19th, 2012.
So in September of 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So that would mean that, yeah, so my concern just was like when it went live, the individual that was providing the supervision was licensed, Courtney Vaughn was licensed in Virginia in November of 2012. So if they went live in September, that's, you know, kind of within that window of being able to apply and get that issued to her. So at this time, I have no concerns about this application and would recommend it move forward. I would like to hear from my colleagues.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any committee members that have any questions or comments related to this applicant? Hearing none, we will move forward.
Chairperson, so really quick, on page 12 of the application document, the it was indicated that her supervision ended in December of 2012. However, her supervision, page 12 indicated her certification in September of 2012, but her supervision ended according to the documentation of December of 2012. So I don't know if that needs to be noted or changed, but I just noted that in there.
You said that page 12?
Yeah, so referring to page 7 of the supervised work experience form, it indicates that her experience went from August of 2011 to December of 2012, but she was certified in September of 2012, and so I didn't know if that would need to be changed or if we're okay moving ahead.
A good catch. I would say that because she still meets the statutory requirements. She may have very well continued to receive supervision, but it lists only the 1,500 hours, huh? Because, yeah, I wonder if that's just a clerical error.
Well, that's what it looks like, and obviously she is certified, so.
Yeah. Maybe we could just get some clarification from board staff prior to next board meeting so it can move forward.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Board staff, are you comfortable reaching out to the applicant or the supervisor to get clarification on the end date to ensure it indeed ended before September of 2012?
Tell her. Madam Chair, Dr. Stenhoff, committee, if you could, do they have to apply only the hours they received for certification, or can they apply any supervised hours? That was my question. I don't recall a rule that.
Yeah.
I just, Madam Chair and committee members, I just noted the discrepancy there. If it's not anything of concern, I'd say I would be okay moving her forward to the board, but full board, I mean.
Yeah, and Dr. Stenhoff, Ms. Folk, one of the things that I've seen happen in the past is individuals remain under supervision for various other state licensing purposes, and it's sometimes easier to get one supervisor's signature over multiple supervisors' signature. And so I wonder if that is the case here. And because we do have a supervisor attesting to 1,500 hours, we know she's certified. I would agree, Ms. Folk, with what you're suggesting is that those hours don't have to come pre-certification. So the date discrepancy may not need to be clarified, and I could go either way if the other committee members are okay with that.
This is Dr. Daly, Madam Chair. Do we can we just do a quick BACB verification of what her certification was? That would answer the question, right? That would probably
verification by the BACB should be present. Let me see what application or what page it's on.
Because that would tell us.
That's on page 10. Oh, no, excuse me, that's Ms. Vaughn.
I don't think I saw it.
Page 12?
Yeah, it's in here.
It's not her, though. It's her...
There's a document, and unfortunately,
Madam Chair, committee, it appears that the, she recorded her certification date, but Dr. Davey, you're asking regarding the BACB?
Yeah, I mean, if the BACB certified her on 9, like what her application says, then I think we move forward, it's fine. If the BACB disagrees with that, I mean, I think that's a quick poll we can... Board staff could probably pull that in the next. They probably are pulling it right now.
Definitely, it's actually in the application. The problem is I can't. I don't know the page number. It's number 8.
It's on page 12.
Unfortunately,
of the PDF.
Is it page?
Yes.
Page 12 of the PDF is there. Arizona. Oh. Maybe that would be helpful
Thank you. I see. Okay. Yep. So the signature by the BACB affirms that, in fact, the certification date was September of 2012.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
So, committee members, do you have any concerns with moving her forward to the full board? Hearing none. We will go ahead and move on to the next applicant. It's going to be Brittany Cookman, and I will provide an overview of Brittany. Brittany graduated from Cal State Northridge in 2016 with a master's in ABA. She's licensed in Virginia. She's at 1,500 hours between the dates of 2014-2016 in California under a licensed psychologist who's also a behavior analyst. The supervisor was approved to provide supervision, and at this time, I have no concerns with her application. Do any of the committee members have any concerns, questions, or comments?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Davey. I have several concerns on this application.
Go ahead.
I think I'll begin with the supervision period, so PDF page number 7. Deborah Melberg, I believe, began supervision on 9/15 of 2014. as the start date for this and accumulation of the 1,500 hours. If we scroll down to information provided by the BCBA on with regard to this individual's availability to provide supervision, she was not eligible to supervise per the ACB guidelines until 1-1 of 2015. That is on PDF, page number 10.
Dr. Davey, that was when that rule went into effect by the BACB.
I think it went actually in before that. I don't have the exact year memorized, but it was prior to, I believe it was prior to 2015 for supervision requirement.
Madam Chair, Dr. Davey, this is Kathy in the board office. I looked that up for our last meeting because we were seeing the same thing. Uh-huh. And what I could find was that on the BACB's website, they had a newsletter where they indicated that that rule went into effect as of January 1st, 2015. But there are some who did receive the requirements for supervisors. They passed. And I think we have a couple of supervisors where it's noted as, I think in November is the earliest I've seen so far. But
hey, I was going to say, I think I've seen actually as early as 2012.
Yeah, Dr. Dave, that would not be correct. The newsletter for all of the changes that went into effect, actually all of the changes were set to go into effect for 2015 because it was the large overhaul of changes that required us to change our rules. So I do believe that the supervisor training and the option to become an approved supervisor was done in a 2014 newsletter. And so they shouldn't have anything prior to 2014, but the actual effect date for when it was mandated was January 1st of 2015.
The BACB reports that slightly different. We'll actually see that in several of the applicants today with regard to when their individuals became eligible for supervision requirements, Madam Chair. So we can maybe table that for right now and see if we can get some further information either directly from the BACB as with regard to those discrepancies, or perhaps we can nail that down as part of a secondary conversation. Again, if we can get that clarified, no problem moving on to the second issue I have with the application. The second issue in reviewing this that just brought me a little bit of pause had to do with the individual's listed experience and behavior analysis, and that begins on page 4 of the PDF. That indicates that since February of 2018, this individual has been at a site address in Phoenix, Arizona, acting as a clinical supervisor. That gives me pause for several reasons. One, if you're a clinical supervisor, I would assume clinical meaning as a behavior analyst. And two, that's quite a period of time to be operating as such without licensure in our state.
Dr. Davey and committee members, we have had this come up before, and unfortunately, the stance that the full board has taken on that matter is that there's nothing that prohibits an individual from practicing under the supervision of another behavior analyst. So if an individual is a behavior analyst but is practicing under, you know, a director of an organization or what have you, and that individual is able to attest for their work, there's nothing in the statute that prohibits that. And we've had this both at the committee and the board level, and the response has been pretty consistent that there is no kind of jurisdiction to address the issue of practice without a license so long as they're being supervised. I do know that in one circumstance more recently, we did reach out to the supervisors to get attestation that the supervision was still occurring, and that could be something I think we could definitely consider But I just wanted to note that this has been something that has come up several times, and the response has been kind of the same, that if they work in a center where they are being supervised, that is allowable.
So I guess if that's the question, then my question would be, is her direct supervisor that's listed licensed in the state of Arizona as well? If that's going to be the stance of your response, is that so long as said professional supervisor listed is providing supervision, that an individual that lacks licensure but is eligible for licensure is allowed to operate in our state for a year plus, almost to the end. I mean, that to me does not sit very well. So maybe I missed some of those conversations, but I don't see how we have a behavior analyst operating in the state without licensure just because of her, what is now quickly approaching 2 full years, a year and a half at this point, without a license. That to me, they are practicing behavior analytic services. So maybe I missed that conversation or did not quite fully understand the ramifications of our position on that, but that seems to be a wide open gap of allowing people to practice our science without the adequate license.
And Dr. Davey, I echo what you're saying, because like I said, this has been brought up because I've had similar concerns on other applicants, and I would be in support of reviewing it again. I can think back to, in the last 6 months, two specific applicants that I brought up very similar concerns for, and like I said, the response was pretty universal. I don't know if we have Ms. Galvin with us today, but that they don't legally have to be licensed. The statute does state licensed and or supervised by somebody who is licensed. I agree with you regarding then a stance that we have taken with past applicants is to request information related to their supervisor. And that information, I think, would be reasonable for us to request. I also think it'd be reasonable for us to request clarification because she has a two site addresses. So, I mean, we're assuming that period of time covers both site addresses, but I think giving the applicant the opportunity to explain the nature of the services in Arizona thus far, and how those services have met the statutory requirements of her being supervised by a licensed behavior analyst. I think that's fair and reasonable to request as well, if any other committee member has any thoughts toward that.
I would just add one thing, Madam Chair, to your discussion, is that when I think about the individual, you know, quote-unquote receiving supervision, that is supervision towards their accumulation of hours to be able to work towards being eligible to sit for a license. In this case, this individual has been eligible to sit for a license for some period of time. And I think that's the issue that I'm having.
So you're saying, and this is Jean.
Yeah, and I'll, go ahead.
This is Jean Galvin. As Dr. Davis-Wilson noted earlier, some individuals continue to obtain supervision if there are additional requirements from other states that they want to meet. I would urge you to treat this applicant as we have others in the past, and if you feel that it's necessary to revisit the board's interpretation or requirements for applicants, we can do that at a future meeting.
I think I would treat her as we have in the past, and that's to seek some clarification about what's been going on, as outlined by the chairwoman.
And, Madam Chair, committee members, we did check the website, and Ms. Schrader is not licensed.
Okay, so the red flags continue, I think, on that then.
Madam Chair, committee members, I concur with Dr. Davey. I think we may want to explore this a little bit more, just to confirm that she was being supervised, accordingly, especially since she was delivering behavior analytic services. in the state.
Yeah, and I've got it noted that we will be requesting information either A, on the specifics of the services because like I said, she lists two sites, so it leads one to believe that there's the potential that that services have already or are already being provided in Arizona. So to seek clarification on the status of supervision for the services that are being provided here in Arizona. And like I said, I can think of two applicants more recently that we have requested the same information for. So I would be comfortable moving forward with that issue. As far as the effective date of the supervisor approval, I would move forward with potentially discussing it as a future agenda item. And the reason being is, one, we'll see it across multiple applications, but we do have documentation from the BACB that clearly identifies January 1st, 2015 as the start date. I'm happy to have, you know, recommend board staff to continue to explore or get additional documentation from the BACB, but I think being that adding that supervisor piece is a relatively new process that we just added over the last two application reviews, I would hesitate to support withholding any applications due to that concern. Committee members have any thoughts or questions, any concerns about that? Hearing none, I've taken notes on this applicant, and we will work with board staff to get clarification on the supervision. Board staff, do you have any questions as to what we're looking for regarding the justification or additional documentation around the services provided in Arizona thus far?
Madam Chair, what I have is that we are requesting specifics of services being provided in Arizona, specifically the status of the supervisor or the supervision for services being provided during her time at Center for Autism and Related Disorders.
Perfect. That sounds good. Hearing no other concerns, we will move forward with applicant number three, Elizabeth Voss. Dr. Raitt, can you provide us a factual overview of this applicant?
Absolutely, thank you. Elizabeth Voss received her master's degree in August 2008 at Webster University. She also completed a certificate in ABA at the same time. She received supervision for a total of 1,508 hours across several places, Dysart School, Vista Washington Elementary. Her supervisors were Emily Davis, Katie Kay, and Ashley Daly. She also indicated that she has a license in special education and elementary education and completed her BCBA certification in May of 2019. In reviewing the application, I didn't have any items of concern and would look to see if fellow committee members have any questions.
Committee members, do you have any questions or concerns regarding this applicant?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Hearing none, we will go ahead and move forward with the next applicant. And I just lost my agenda. And that's going to be me. Thank you, Dr. Davey. Jennifer.
I thought you'd lost your agenda, so I was going to help you there for a second.
I appreciate it.
Moving forward for licensure in the state of Arizona, she recently became a certified behavior analyst in the May of 2019. She is coming from a state in Michigan where licensure does not exist, so her supervision is acceptable at this particular point, that is signed off by multiple supervisors that oversaw her work. They also provided some information back to the board. You'll see in the packet with regard to the fact that Michigan has moved towards licensure. However, the actual setup of that is working its way through the cogs of government at this particular point. So I see no reason to hold this up and would recommend it being moved to the full board.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or concerns? Hearing none, we'll move that one to the full board as well. And our next applicant is Ms. Modelewicz. Gonna probably butcher that one. And I will provide an overview of that. We have requested additional information from this applicant related to some discrepancies in the date, specifically that it appears that supervision occurred the same month or near the same time as coursework. She has provided us a letter outlining her supervision experience and did specify that the actual supervision did start on 8/24 and her coursework started on 8/23. I think the letter that she provided thoroughly explains the information that we were looking for, and I would move forward, or I would suggest we move forward with recommending her for the full board. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or concerns? Hearing none, we will move on to Lisette Lorraine Leyva. Dr. Rates, can you provide us an overview of this applicant?
Yes. So this applicant received their master's from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in January of 2011. They completed 1,646 hours of supervision, which all occurred in California, which did not have licensure. One note that I had was just that on the application, the individual did not indicate when they started that master's. So I had to do a little bit of digging to ensure that supervision did not occur or was accounted for prior. In looking at that, it appears on the transcript that she started her master's in 2008 and that her documented supervision started in 2009. So it does look like that added up, but we may want to request that they just indicate that on the application as it was missing. The individual received their BCBA in May of 2012 and also indicated that they are licensed in California from the Board of Cosmetology. Those were the only things that I noted on the application and would just suggest that we get that small edit to indicate when that master's degree was started.
Perfect. Does anybody else have any other questions, comments, or concerns? And board staff, you're okay reaching out to her for that date?
Yes, that will be. I will take care of that, Dr. Rates. Thank you.
Excellent. Hearing no further concerns, we will move on to Raheel Haristo-Rosas. Dr. Stenhoff, can you provide us an overview of this applicant?
Sure. So, again, this is another first additional information. It was requested on July 9th of 2019. The committee requested a clarification of her supervised experience start date. In her original application, she indicated that her hours began accumulating prior to beginning her program. However, she provided documentation related to the request, and it appears that her supervision meets the standards that's described in our Arizona Administrative Code. So I don't have any concerns moving forward, but would like to hear from other committee members if they do.
Does anybody have any concerns or questions regarding this applicant? Hearing none. Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. We will move on to number 9, Robin Marion. Dr. Davey, can you provide us an overview of this applicant?
Yes. Ms. Marion is coming forward for licensure in the state of Arizona as behavior analyst. She was originally certified by the BACB late May of 2018. She has provided information with regard to her background. She is currently has received supervised experience in the state of California, which we know has no licensure. This applicant opted to provide us with her original BACB experience verification forms, accounting for her 1,500 hours. In reviewing this application, I did not note any concerns and would recommend this to move forward.
Excellent. Does any other committee members have any concerns with this applicant? Hearing none, we will move her to the full board. And then we'll move on to number 10, Ms. Donna Silverman, and I will give an overview of Shauna's application. So Shauna did complete a master's degree through the online curriculum and instruction ABA program through ASU. She completed 1,510 hours over the course of a year, and did have supervision remotely from an individual in Washington. I did note that that supervision experience was here in Arizona at a local school. However, the supervisor is not licensed to practice in Arizona. So my recommendation would be that we request additional information on possible hours that have been completed by a approved or licensed behavior analyst here in Arizona, and see if she has anything else from somebody that's licensed. That was my only concern that I noted. Does anybody have any other questions or concerns?
Madam Chairman, this is Kathy.
Madam Chair,
I just want to inform the committee that I did reach out to Ms. Silverman and requested additional hours, and she does not have any. And she requested that if the committee recommended denial, that they would grant her the opportunity to withdraw at this time, or at the time
Excellent.
Of the board meeting.
Then I thank you very much. That's extremely helpful. And that would be then my recommendation is to allow for her to withdraw her application. Does anybody have any questions or concerns around that recommendation? Hearing none, the committee would be in support of recommending an opportunity for the applicant to withdraw her application, and that will be sent over to the full board for approval of that recommendation, correct?
But if she doesn't withdraw, we need to have...
Yeah, I believe we can't.
I believe so.
Make that at the committee level, so that'll be sent over. Any other questions or concerns?
Madam Chair, just a question. I think in the past when we've run into this, we've sometimes said, do we need to reach out to Ms. Pope to inform her that if she is currently attempting to supervise others in our wonderful state of Arizona, that due to her lack of licensure, that those individuals will not be eligible for to count the hours that she's providing. Do we see any benefit in having the board send some sort of notice to this individual to let them know to perhaps stop what I'm sure is heartache for Ms. Silverman? Do we need to stop that for other individuals that may be in our state trying to work towards licensure?
Dr. Davey, I think that is a really good point. Other committee members and board staff, I do know we've had this discussion before, and I believe we have sent documentation before. I would be in support of that as well, just to help kind of inform those that are providing remote supervision so that they are aware of the practice requirements in the state. Because I agree, it's kind of the two-sided part of, A, those hours don't count, but two, the statute does require a license to practice in Arizona if you're going to be providing services to the community. So I think that both of those are very pertinent pieces of information to share. Board staff, because we have had this come up before, you may have a template available. Are you comfortable with sending a letter to Ms. Polk?
Madam Chair, committee members, yes, and I will have Ms. Jones review it before I send it.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Davey, for bringing that up. I think that that's a good practice for us to have as we continue to see these come in.
Yeah, it's hard for me.
All right.
I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on to number 11, Tanisha Lauren Roosh. Dr. Raitt, can you provide a overview of this applicant?
I can. So Tanisha received her master's from ASU in August of 2018. She completed 1,962 hours of supervision, all at the Melmed Center, under a few different supervisors, but signed off by Renee Malari. She also received her BCBA in May of 2019. In reviewing the application, I didn't find any areas of concern and would recommend that we move it forward.
Excellent. Does anybody have any other questions or concerns? Perfect. Hearing none, that does conclude our application review for agenda number 5. I have here that we are recommending Ms. DeToma, Ms. Bunt, Ms. Voss, Ms. Gentile, Ms. Motolewicz, Ms. Leva, Mrs. Russos, Ms. Marion, and Ms. Ruth all to the full board for approval. I do have that Ms. Leva, we are going to reach out regarding just one small administrative discrepancy, which is just the master degree start date. We do also have Ms. Silverman that we are recommending the opportunity for her to withdraw her application. And then for Ms. Cookman, we are recommending a request for additional information related to the supervisor licensing and services provided here in Arizona so far. Anything that I'm missing, any motions that want to be entertained? I'll go ahead and make the motion to approve as I have stated.
I'll second.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by the same signal? All right. We have a motion carries with unanimous vote. And we will go ahead and move down to agenda item number 6. Going to be discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding self-report submitted by Ms. Jessica Mattis. Ms. Michelson, can you provide us an overview of this case?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. On May 29th, the board office received correspondence from Ms. Mattis that she had been charged with domestic violence on May 24, 2019. Ms. Mattis reported this charge to the board office within the required time frame. In response to a request for various information from board staff, Ms. Mattis provided an explanation of the events leading to her charge, as well as the police report and a court document, which reflects that she has been charged with misdemeanor assault. Ms. Mattis provided the requested documentation in a timely manner to board staff. The charge is still pending in court, and Ms. Mattis indicated that the next court date is on September 9th of 2019. As noted in the investigative memo that you have, Ms. Mattis submitted her behavior analyst application to the board in July of 2018. On that background questionnaire, Ms. Mattis disclosed a previous criminal history that occurred from 2002 to 2007. The committee reviewed her application and voted to move it to the board, and she was subsequently issued her behavior analyst license on September 27th of 2018. Just one thing to note that she recently submitted some additional information to the board office this week. She provided an additional statement regarding the current charge as well as 3 reference letters. These documents were uploaded to the committee member portal yesterday morning. She is present today and has requested to speak before the committee. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you. So Ms. Mattis, would you like to address the committee?
Yes, I would, please.
You might have to pull that down in front of
you.
And speak directly into it.
Okay, yes, I would. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for your time and consideration during this deeply personal and difficult time in my life. I would like to put all of this behind me and continue doing what is right for my children and myself. I have worked very hard to get where I'm at today professionally and personally. I am relieved to say I have made my way out of my difficult marriage. However, it has not come without its consequences. I will continue to do what is ethical and responsible to move past this challenging time. I appreciate your thoughtfulness in this situation, and I am happy to answer any questions that you may have about anything that is pending.
Thank you, Mrs. Mattis. Before we move forward, I do have one procedural question for you, Ms. Galvin. At this point, because it is just a self-report, are committee members able to ask questions? Is this just a time in which we are determining what to do for the immediate future, and or in follow-up of this case? I want to make sure that we proceed correctly here.
You may ask questions. Her application is before the board, and you may review her current history and the incident that has been you've been notified of that occurred in May.
Perfect. Thank you for that clarification. Committee members, do you have any questions for Ms. Mattis? I have one. And it's specific to, first, Ms. Mattis, thank you for being here. I think this is obviously a very difficult time and a difficult position to be in, and it's intimidating. And we appreciate how forthcoming you've been, how quickly you reported the matter, very professional of you. And we do appreciate you withholding that level of ethics and integrity. With that being said, I did review the police report, and we do have the information pertaining to your previous history. The question that I have for you is the police report does identify that there was an odor of alcohol. There was a comment made by the alleged victim that there had been drinking going on all night. I know that this is obviously a difficult time. Were you intoxicated at the time that this call was made?
I was not.
Did you consume any alcoholic beverages the night that this incident occurred?
I did not.
Excellent. Does any other committee members have any questions for Ms. Mattis?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Daly.
Go ahead.
I just want to echo what you said. I appreciate Ms. Mattis bringing this issue to the board and self-disclosing it. That does show a particular level of professionalism and a willingness to get out in front of this and the best that she can. I think at this time, my conversation is really directed towards the board that we most likely need to kind of go in a wait-and-see posture, that we ask Ms. Mattis to keep the board staff informed of the proceedings that are going to follow this and ultimately the outcome. Based on the fact that she self-disclosed, I don't have any real concerns that she would not be willing to share that with us as this matter makes its way through the legal system. Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Absolutely. Does any other committee members have any comments? I agree with Dr. Davey that because this is a pending matter, that it might be beneficial for us to follow the matter as it moves through court case. And address it depending on kind of the findings of the court case. Ms. Jones and Ms. Galvin, I know that in the past we've done kind of two ways. One was just the voluntary action of keeping us in the loop. Is this something that we can move to a later agenda item so that we can follow up with it and ensure that we're getting the proper update from the court proceeding?
You may table the application. I believe she said she has...
There's not an application. It was a self-report. She's already licensed.
Submitted it in May. Okay, yes, you can table the matter. I believe she said there was some sort of proceeding around the 1st of September. And so you can table the matter until this pending criminal matter is adjudicated. Can I ask you, is it a felony or a misdemeanor that you've been charged with?
Misdemeanor.
So you may table the matter, request that she keep you advised of any events that transpire in the court proceeding, and then when it is finally adjudicated, she would notify you and we would put it on the next committee agenda.
Perfect. Then that would be, I echo what Dr. Davies says, I think that would be our best course of action at this time. Ms. Mattis, if you wouldn't mind keeping us informed of kind of the process where it stands, and then, of course, any new information or any information related to the conclusion of the court proceedings, we would like to have brought forth to us as well. Does any committee members have any other questions or comments?
I have one question, follow-up question, Ms. Mattis. Have the pending charges affected the custody of your children?
No.
You retain custody of them or share custody?
I am actually fighting for sole custody.
Okay. But currently you're sharing custody?
Yes.
Thank you. And your divorce is not final?
No.
All right. Thank you.
Perfect. Do we need a motion to table the matter, or can we just table it?
I'm not hearing any committee member objecting to tabling the matter and requesting that Ms. Mattis keep the committee informed of the status of the criminal case. So if that is true, then the chair can just advise staff to table the matter until we hear from Ms. Mattis.
Excellent. Thank you. Then, yes, let's go ahead and table the matter until we hear from Ms. Mattis on an update related to the proceedings. Thank you, Ms. Mattis, for being here.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and move on to agenda item number 7, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding five-year rule review update. Ms. Jones, can you provide the committee an overview?
Yes. Madam Chair, committee members, this week we went for the preliminary meeting before GIRC on the five-year rule review. We did not receive any questions, so that's a good sign. And we anticipate the five-year review being approved next Tuesday. With that being done, then we can send a letter to the governor's office asking for an exemption, which will allow us to move forward with a rulemaking package. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Does the committee have any questions for Ms. Jones? Hearing none, I want to thank you, Ms. Jones, for your continued work on this packet and the work that you have done for us related to getting our five-year rule review update into the GIRC office. So thank you very much for that. We will move to agenda item 8, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding proposed new behavior analyst application for licensure by universal recognition pursuant to House Bill 2569. Ms. Folk, will you provide us an overview?
Yes, as you know, the universal recognition bill is going into law effective August 27th this month. It's modifying Section 32-4302 of the occupational license laws. And so we've drafted a universal recognition application for your review. and also HB 2569, the chaptered version, I also uploaded to the website for your, if you wanted, for reference, if you wanted it.
Excellent. Committee members, do you have any questions or comments on the upcoming changes for the universal recognition and or the application that has been proposed? I have one question.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Dr. Davey.
No, you go first.
My pleasure.
Yours is going to be better than my question, I'm sure.
Probably not. All right. So my one question is probably more so related to interpretation of the statute, but in reviewing the application, it didn't stand out for me as to whether it was clear or not. But specific to the intent, as I understand this House bill, is that if you are not residing in Arizona but plan to move to Arizona, you would have potentially this option of kind of the universal recognition of your previous license. So let's say Kentucky, you know, you're coming from Kentucky, you are licensed in Kentucky, you meet the minimum degree requirements, which is the master's degree for behavior analyst. You move to Arizona, you'd be eligible for this. What about those that currently live in Arizona but have a license practice in other states? And I know that I've wrapped my brain around this question a few times because my first thought is, well, if you live in Arizona, are you really flying out of state to provide these services? You couldn't provide them in the state. And the answer, I think, is yes for the nature of how our field works. And also there's individuals who have licenses in other states but may be only practicing as like a speech pathologist here in Arizona, but they're licensed to practice as a occupational therapist as a behavior analyst as well in another state that didn't meet our requirements. Because they're not moving per se, would this universal law allow for them to become licensed?
This is Jean Galvin. Our understanding is that it would apply to those who have established a residence in Arizona, and I think the intent is to capture those who are relocating, if you will, to Arizona, and right. Not those that have already established residency here and have lived here and happen to be licensed in another state. They might come in under some sort of reciprocity statute, and this is not intended to be a reciprocity statute.
Okay. So so I guess my concern is either in the application or through this process, because that's how I understood it as well. But I am aware of circumstances, like I said, in which individuals may live here in Arizona, but they're not practicing here, they're practicing in other states. How would we capture that? So I feel like the application just says, am I a resident of Arizona? And so by answering yes and providing an Arizona address or tax documents for this last year or what have you, theoretically, we would have no way to tell that they actually relocated to Arizona, but that they've actually been a resident of Arizona. And I don't know how we could capture that or if we need to capture that, but I think the application is pretty cut and dry. Are you a resident now or not? But I do know of individuals, I don't know that they would ever seek licensure, but I do know of individuals that have their primary residence here in Arizona, but that is not where their primary practice is.
So you're saying individuals who currently live here but don't practice here and have licenses in other
yes.
states?
Yeah.
Are they...
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm looking at page 3 of the PDF. The third item on the application, would that take care of it, of the existing license in another state, or is that not what you're referring to, Madam Chair?
So So theoretically, because the other state licensing processes are sometimes just by reciprocity of being certified, we have individuals who, and like I said, I'm not sure if they're going to ever seek licensure here in Arizona. I don't know. But I'm aware of a very well-known behavior analyst that primarily lives in Arizona, has a residence here in Arizona, but works for a government entity outside of Arizona. Whether or not she's licensed out of state, I'm not sure, but I think theoretically it could be the case where she is. And I know of a couple of other individuals that are licensed in other states as behavior analysts and speech pathologists or occupational therapists, but then here in Arizona, they didn't meet the behavior analyst requirement. So they're licensed only as in Arizona, they're licensed only as like a speech pathologist or even a psychologist for that matter. We've got several psychologists here that didn't meet the requirement for having a psychologist license and a behavior analyst license, but they may be licensed as a behavior analyst in another state, but their primary residence is here. And I, as I say that out loud, I can think of like six or seven different people just out of my own network that I'm thinking of that practice that way.
Okay. And the statute doesn't address the time frame of establishing a residence here. So the examples that you provided, someone who is living here but practicing in another state, whether it's behavior analysis or another profession, but if they want to seek their behavior analysis license here, then the other state where they hold a license has to be a behavior analyst license. It's the same license.
Correct.
At the same level in another state.
Correct.
When you have established a residence in Arizona, is not addressed by the statute.
Okay. So theoretically, if I'm a speech pathologist who's also board certified, but I was unable to meet the requirements to become a BCBA here in Arizona, let's say I did the intensive practicum, so I did 750 hours. So I don't meet our statutory requirements, but I contract with Virginia's government. I'm totally throwing out randomness, but I contract with Virginia's government and I fly out there once or twice a month to provide services for them, and I'm licensed in Virginia. I theoretically would fall under this universal recognition because I have an established residency and I am a licensed behavior analyst in Virginia, but I did the intensive program, so I was not previously eligible in Arizona, but I now may be eligible.
Yes, you could apply under this statute, under this newly established pathway.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that if that was allowable, that I'm fine with the application as is, so long as that's allowable. But because I understand the intent of the statute is to not limit people from relocating to Arizona, I did want to just get clarification that it also would allow for, or we may potentially have applicants who reside here in Arizona or who have previously withdrawn applications because they haven't met the requirements that may now actually meet the requirements.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's what this bill is intended to capture.
Okay. Yeah. So to capture, keep people from also moving out of state. So not just relocating, but if you can't practice in the state, then it also kind of forces you to leave the state as well. All right.
I have no other questions. My question is going to sound ridiculous. I just wanted to know what the definition of residency is. Like, I know we've had some discussion at the board level. So, Ms. Galvin, can you maybe walk us through what that is going to look like?
It was not defined in the statute. The Attorney General's Office has provided the agencies, you know, with some guidance. It will be up to the agencies to determine, In their opinion, what constitutes establishing residence. But you would look at a person's intent and the actions that they've taken to demonstrate that. Is there a mortgage? Is there documentation of a rent or lease? Are the children enrolled in school? Where are they paying their taxes?
Do they have a driver's license?
Yeah, driver's license, registration to vote, things like that. It was not defined.
Okay. So something like a driver's license could ultimately be could be the definition. Do we define that at for each board? I mean, is each board in the state of Arizona going to define that, or is that going to ultimately come down from the AG's office?
Madam Chair, Dr. Davey, this is Jenna. I apologize. There is an item on next week's board agenda, which includes the definition or the a memo from the AG's office outlining the residency possibilities, and we also have a proposed substantive statement which would address the residency issue that the board will consider adopting at that time.
This is a memorandum that was provided to all of the executive directors in the licensing area in an effort to advise them items that they may want to examine when determining whether an applicant has established a residence. We suggested that agencies may want to develop a substantive policy statement along that lines that would provide guidance to the agency and notify the applicants what an agency may be looking for. So hopefully there might be some uniformity with each agency, but again, it will be up to each agency to determine what constitutes residence.
Excellent, thank you.
Some of
and I think that was a great question, Dr. Davey.
Oh, yours was better. Yours was much more involved. Thank you. I look forward to having that discussion and sharing with the how the state's going to pull that through. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments related to the universal recognition application? Hearing none, I would just say, and it probably could go without even being said, but Ms. Folks, as you're aware, as we review the applications as they come in, we might have edits. It looks great. And it's not until people start filling it out that sometimes it's like, ooh, maybe this didn't make sense or maybe this does. So we appreciate you putting together this application. We're hopeful that it goes smoothly for you and the rest of the board staff. But we'll keep you updated if we see anything that stands out as people start using the application.
Madam Chair, thank
you. All right, moving on. Oh, thank you. Moving on to agenda number 9, this discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding proposed new behavior analyst application for temporary licensure pursuant to Senate Bill 1086. Ms. Folk, will you provide us an overview?
Yes, this is very similar to the universal recognition application. As you know, SB 1086 has modified Arizona Revised Code sections 32-3121, 3122, 3123, and 3124, and allows boards to issue temporary licensure for 30 days, and they can reapply for another 30 days within the same 12-month period for temporary licensure.
I do have one question to talk about for the 30 days, being able to teach like a course or a seminar or a class. If there's like a professional conference or like a keynote speaker for a professional conference, does this apply to them? Do they also have to seek temporary licensure to present at a conference here in the state?
I would argue no, that doesn't constitute the practice of behavior analysis.
Okay.
Hang on just a sec.
Perfect. All right. Does the committee have any questions?
providing services. Number two, to work in the state.
Hearing none, Ms. Falk, much like the other one, it looks great. Pretty clear and consistent with our other application process, so we will keep you posted on how it goes as we start to review them. Do you have any questions for us, Ms. Folk?
I do not. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Then we'll move to agenda item 10, new agenda items for future meetings, and I have three-ish and a half listed. The first one probably isn't so much of an agenda item, but it just occurred to me that Ms. Michelson joined us at the full board meeting last month, which means I'm not sure if the committee members have met Ms. Michelson yet, but Ms. Michelson has taken the deputy director position that Heather was in. And so we wanted to welcome you, Ms. Michelson, but I wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything formal that you needed from us, seeing that you haven't been able to see our faces yet or get to know any of our work. And if there is, then we can definitely answer any questions or anything that you have in future agendas as well. But welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. The other ones that I have listed is Ms. Jones, you mentioned at the full board meeting, we will have the AG office memo to review. The full board will be looking at a statement related to the residency piece. Could we add that to the next month's meeting so that the committee members have an update on that status and an update on the final language themselves?
Absolutely.
Excellent. I do have here follow-up with the BACB to just seek that clarification as to when individuals were required to be approved as supervisors on the next agenda. So if we could work on getting that as an agenda item so that we're clear in future application reviews, that would be fantastic. And then I have one more, and that is we recently received very sad but exciting, I'm sure, news related to Ms. Jones. And what I would like to do with that one is just make sure that the committee is kept apprised of kind of the process of the transition, what that's going to look like. And all of that fun stuff. So I think those would be the only three agenda items that that I would recommend.
And I would just say, Madam Chair, that maybe they don't know that Ms. Jones has decided to retire. I don't know that they were privy to that communication.
Thank you. Yes. So Ms. Jones will be retiring as of the 15th of this month, I believe. And so we would, just like to make sure that the committee is kept up to date on the status of that transition. Any other agenda items for future meetings?
I would just have one thing I'd like to add to that, and that is that this committee, in particular, owes Ms. Jones a debt of gratitude. She has helped us in more ways than we probably realize, and making sure that we appear to know what the heck we're doing on a lot of occasions. I don't think that we would be as successful in this endeavor as we have been without her guidance and leadership. And so I think I can speak for the committee when I say thank you, Ms. Jones, for all you've done for us and for our field and our practice here in the state of Arizona. So thank you.
Madam
Absolutely.
Chair,
I would echo
Davey.
That. Thank you very much, Ms. Jones.
Thank you very much. I'd also like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to recognize Ms. Falks. We were, as I'm putting together the budget and the strategic plan and everything for the next year, it came to my attention that you have seen a 28% increase in BA applications over the past year. And Ms. Fowkes has maintained the same time frame in doing those applications and turning them around, and she's only working 4 days a week. So I think that,
wow,
that is a huge accomplishment. As you know, she's redone all the applications and is in the process of redoing them all again just to comply with all these new statutes. So I would like to recognize and thank Ms. Fowkes for all of her hard work.
Excellent. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would echo that. I would also add the attention to detail. I think the application reviews, since she's joined the team, have become so easy to navigate. And it's always nice, and we appreciate that a lot of the questions that you know we are going to ask are being asked ahead of time so that all of the information is moving as quickly as possible. So we appreciate that as well. All right.
And Madam Chair, if I may, I'm a statistical person, so if I may add one more statistic. You have reduced your amount of fair letters by 50% over the last year. So that's a kudos to to the group, to Ms. Fowkes, that, you have 50% less additional requests for information letters going out.
That's awesome. Awesome. Good work. Thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All righty, then. I will move to agenda item number 11. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
I so moved.
Everybody want to stay today?
No. I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you, guys. Then we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. 10:48. The meeting has been adjourned. Thank you, guys, very much.